Thanks, Ray. Thank you very much.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Yesterday, we were speaking about soft drinks from the 70s. Yes, we were. Why, you ask? Well, because I was looking at Reeling in the Years from 1973 and I spotted a Horselips fronted ad campaign for a soft drink, a mineral, as they used to call them back in the day, called Mirinda, which, as far as I could make out, was Pepsi-Cola's attempt to take on Coca-Cola's Fanta. Anyhow, it got us talking about various soft drinks. And a couple, or even one that we didn't get to, this is going to bring back memories for all you pioneers out there. In the 1970s, I drank Madison, non-alcoholic, before non-alcoholic was a fashionable thing. Apple flavoured, as far as I remember, drank it because it was different from what my friends drank. I would be distinguished as the one who drinks Madison. Very cosmopolitan. My parents loved going to singing pubs in the 1970s on Friday or Saturday nights. My mother drank Britvic Orange or Pineapple, but occasionally would go crazy and have one alcoholic drink, either a Baby Sham or a Snowball. Now, they wouldn't have been powerful alcoholic drinks back in the day. Now, Britvic, there's one. My dad, he liked going to the pub and he always brought my mum home a bottle of Britvic Orange. That was very nice of him, wasn't it? He'd stay out all night and he'd bring home the Britvic Orange of an evening. That was nice of him. So that was yesterday. Also yesterday, we spoke to Dr. Aisling Toohill. She's assistant professor in mathematics education in DCU. We had an interesting chat about parents and maths and homework. And Aisling is involved in the running of workshops specifically designed for parents, offering advice on how they can help encourage their children when it comes to maths and maths homework. Now, she said that the event that she is hosting tonight was sold out, but after the demand, after she was on the radio yesterday, they've moved rooms in the Tullamore Court Hotel. So they're gone from a medium-sized room to a large room. Which means there is availability now. So if you are interested in going along to the workshops this evening in the Tullamore Court Hotel about maths, parenting, homework, you can go to Midland Science on Eventbrite to book your place. It's free, but you have to go to book it. Midland Science on Eventbrite, and that's an event part of Maths Week. Maths Week. Paul Mescal is doing a campaign for Gucci, and he's in all the papers today. Big smiley heading him with his beard and his moustache and no trousers on. That's him. He's lounging on a nice leather. How would you describe that? It's some sort of a, it's not exactly a sofa. It's a chair of some description. Anyway, it's red. He's not wearing his trousers. Just Paul and his loafers is the caption that goes with it. And he has a pair of, I presume, Gucci tanned loafers with some gold detail on them. He's white socks. And he's wearing a pair of boxer shorts. They obviously saw him in his GA shorts in Normal People and decided, that's the look. That's the look. We want that look. And he has a tan Crombie or some sort of coat on as well. And he's looking delighted with himself. So there. He's come a long way since the GA, the O'Neill's GA shorts, although they got a bounce out of him. They did. They got a bounce in sales out of him. You know how we're interested in artificial intelligence here? Well, the new thing coming down the tracks very shortly, the 1st of November, which is what? Next? The week after next? The week after next, yes. Microsoft 365 Copilot. And it's a new AI chatbot. Which will help you with your meetings, because meetings can be drudgery, can't they? Yeah, all the things you have to do. Well, this particular AI chatbot can summarise meetings held in Teams for anyone who chooses not to attend. It can also draft emails, create Word documents, spreadsheet graphs and PowerPoint presentations in moments. This is the way the world is changing, and it's changing very quickly. And Microsoft is claiming that it will eliminate the drudgery of meetings. Colette Stahlbaumer, head of Microsoft 365, said it was up to the individual using Copilot to clarify that particular emails, etc., were generated by AI as opposed to a human being, because there is legislation been introduced around the world that people have to state when something has been created by AI or by humans. That is the world we live in. The future is now. And the future is drone delivery, although I see that they're testing drone delivery. Manna, an Irish company, are testing drone delivery out in Balbriggan, and they've had a number of pilot projects elsewhere in the country, I think in Oranmore in County Galway. Well, Amazon have come out and they have unveiled their newest drone technology. So, you know, it's a drone, right? And it flies over your house, and then some sort of contraption opens up and it lowers whatever you've ordered, be it a pizza or a pair of shoes or whatever, down. And in the footage that I saw from Manna, there's a bit of rope and the rope drops with it. And there you have it, and it's delivered. Anyway, they say that their new drones can withstand more wind and more diverse weather conditions. And they're aiming that they won't need line of sight. I think at the moment they need some sort of line of sight, and they won't need that. And they're intending to have millions and millions of packages been delivered by drone by the end of the century. So our skies will be full of drones. And then all that thing, people will be able to tap into the signal to the drone and redirect it to their house, and then they get something that they don't want and somebody doesn't get what they wanted and all sorts of things. It could be confusing, but they seem to be on top of it. Drone deliveries, that's the future. Madison on ice, nice, was the catchphrase. Ah, yes. Probably delivered Madison on ice, nice, by Pierce Brosnan or somebody like that. What about Cavan Cola? We love this in the 80s, 90s. Always, I love watching it when we would have a top off in Cavan on our way to visit our grannies in Leitrim. Aha. So you'd have it and the weather was good. You'd have your top off and you'd have your can or your bottle of Cavan Cola. Canada Dry, a soft drink. I think it was. And there was a sort of a sexy ad for that, Brian, as well. Canada Dry. It was up there with Schweppes. All of those soft drinks from the 70s, 80s and 90s. Now, Sinead Neulachán is out and about for us today. Somewhere in Dublin. Hello, Sinead.
Hi, Ray, from the heart of Dublin 8. I'm here at the Liberty Market, checking out the stalls, doing a little bit of early Christmas shopping and taking in the atmosphere.
Now, before we talk about the Liberty Market, you're from Kerry.
County Kerry, West Dingle.
So what
next
sort
parish
of
America.
What sort of soft drinks or minerals did you have growing up?
Oh, probably my waddy. Would that be considered a mineral where you'd add the water? Like a.
Not
dilute
really,
it?
No. Because you wouldn't,
really,
you wouldn't buy it in a shop, you see. You'd have my waddy at home. And then for a treat, you go out and you get a mineral.
Or for a treat, you put sparkling water through the my waddy.
Yes. Mm. Or if you're really posh, you'd have a soda stream.
We weren't that posh. But I have one now, so I'm very posh.
You know, there was a term back in the 80s which referred to people who... it was soda stream socialists. So it was people who had a bit of money, but also claimed to be socialists. Not that having money can, you know, eliminate you from a socialist ideology, but back in the day that was a term anyway. So you're there, you might get a soda stream in the Liberty Market or something like that. Tell us about the market.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if I got a soda stream here, because they sell anything and everything. There are over 35 stalls here, give or take, roughly. And they sell everything from cards to jewellery to rugs. We've got every sort of thing here. I'm hearing myself back because I think they're playing it out over the market. So maybe you can turn it down.
Hello, Liberty Market from RT Radio 1.
Yeah, but there's a bit of everything. So when you walk in first, I met Billy. He sells slippers and shoes. Then to his side is Matt. He has a stall that sells crystals and nice little things to wear, jewellery and little gadgets and things like that. There are so many things here. Claire then has the cards. We have Marion, who has toys. Anything and everything you want, we get it here. You can get it here. And with Christmas only around the corner as well, you might as well take a little trip down to the Liberties, because they are selling celebrating as well. They've been here for 50 years.
Happy anniversary, the Liberty Market. Is that freaking you out there? Is that the first time you've heard yourself back?
I know, I kind of feel like I'm on a spaceship or something. What year is it? I know, but it's all good. It's all good. I have to say, I've had a brilliant day here today. I've been meeting and chatting to all the people who have stalls here, and it's been amazing. There's such a sense of community here. People are so kind and so generous. I feel like I know them personally at this stage. I got a cappuccino from Pat Gadget, they call him. He sells gadgets, but he also sells coffees and teas and everything else. So I have to say, great vibe here.
Who did you meet apart from Pat Gadget?
Well, the first person I met was Anthony, and I went around asking people today what was the best bargain or the best buy that they got here at the market.
My ma came here and bought me a pair of LA Lights when I was a kid. They were runners that lit up, and so they were really, I thought it was the coolest thing walking around, and it's pretty dependable. It's been here and it's never changed, so it's a really special place. And what's really special is just the atmosphere you get when you come in here, and it's just people are full of laughter and life, and it's like a time machine going back in time and for the old Dublin, like, you know, it hasn't been fully lost.
Ah, yeah, lights on your shoes, you can't beat that.
Yeah, I think I had a pair of shoes like that when I was younger.
And then there was Pauline.
I find the jewellery is really, really nice now, and it's absolutely fabulous. Sure, even the top models that wear them, they would. It's not like rubbishy stuff, you know, it's really nice.
Have you picked anything up today?
I'm actually just looking now, you know, and I could do with a nice pair of comfy slippers as well, but look it, I don't be in long enough to wear the slippers, so I go for the trainers and the nice shoes.
Good woman, Pauline. Yeah, then I met Jade as well. Jade is preparing for Christmas.
Be the kids' stuff, kids' jackets and stuff at Christmas and the football kits and that. You can't beat them out of her, definitely not.
And do your kids come here?
Yeah, on a Saturday now when they're off school, we come down. They do have all the bouncy castles and all at the end of the year. Did you ever see that? It's just brilliant in here, it is for everyone.
That was Jade.
That was Jade. And next up, Noel. He was buying slates.
Have you moved away from the radio? You have?
I have, yeah. We've got the volume turned down here now. I feel like I'm a normal person and not an alien again.
Were you doing moon tour on it? Turn on.
I was. Yeah. It was like Q-ness.
Yeah. Here's Noel.
The slates with the pictures on them from Richie, yeah, very good. You print the picture wherever you want on the slate and you can put in lovely backgrounds and all. Do you know what I mean?
And who have you got printed on your slates to date?
Me dog, Waldo. German Shepherd and half St. Bernard, that's it. I like artwork. It's a great market, you know.
That's Noel. Is Waldo still with Noel?
Waldo is still with Noel, and Richie has an image of Waldo on one of the slates. So if you pass his stand, you can see exactly what it looked like. And he has a picture of Waldo, but he's superimposed him on an image of what looks like a beach in Barbados.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool, yeah. And then his name is underneath.
Great. And you met Therese?
I've got lots of good bargains, but I got a lovely coat at one stage here, and I have it years ago. I bought it, and it comes out every Christmas. But I love coming over, I get the wool and I have a look around at all the different tops, and it's so much cheaper than the shops and different to anything too. So yes, it's, they know me, I'm a fairly regular customer here. I come from Swords all the way over. So I'm going off now to see, can I do any more damage?
There you go, that's Therese, yeah. The Liberty Market. And people have been coming there for years. It's in existence 50 years and people have been coming there for nearly as long.
Coming there for 50 years. So it was founded in 1973 by a man called Michael Fitzgerald. And I met him today, actually, when I was walking around, and he was telling me a little bit about the history of the place and how he remembers how the first trader came up to him hoping to get a stall when he was up on the roof fixing the place when he had just started off this whole market. And I was talking to some of the traders as well. Apparently, there was no electricity here back in 1973 when they started first. They only had candles. And they used to get water from the shop next door. And there used to be just one table per trader back in the day. But now they have massive stalls. And as I was saying, give or take about 35 in total.
Yeah. You're going to meet Larry Mooney later on. And one of his best customers is Phil.
It's definitely the wool. Because most of the wool shops, the wool is three times the price of this. I've tried everywhere. I'm knitting all my life since I was 14. Growing up, I was very skinny, so I couldn't get clothes to fit me in the length because I was lanky. So I bought a knitting machine, and that was the start of it. And then I went on to hand knitting. At the moment, I'm working on errands for all my friends' children and my nephews. They're 4 and 5, and they've never wore a shop bought cardigan or jumper. So that's what I'm getting now.
Ah, yeah. That's brilliant. Never bought a shop made cardigan or jumper. That's brilliant.
There you go.
Yeah. So Larry, tell us about Larry.
Well, Larry Mooney has been here pretty much from day one, about 49, 50 years. And he sells wool, he sells needles, he sells buttons. He is the heart of the place as well. Everybody knows him. He's a great character. And I can't wait for you to get a chance to talk to him a little bit later on, because he'll be able to tell us more about the history of the place, the customers who come to him, where he gets his products, etc, etc.
And when you say thanks very much to everybody there for having us in the Liberty Market this afternoon, they can turn the radio back up now.
Absolutely, we'll do.
For Snow Patrol. Thanks, Sinead. See you.
Okay, bye, so
bye, 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 bye. Look at the world. Chasing Cars, Snow Patrol on RT Radio 1. We had Richard Flood in on Monday, and he's starring in The Gone, which starts on Sunday night. It's a drama. He plays a Dublin policeman, Garda, who goes out to New Zealand to investigate a missing Irish couple. Anyway, Richard used to be in Grey's Anatomy, and that song was featured in Grey's Anatomy, and that's why he played it today. So there you go. Now, what are you saying? If you're training drone delivery, surely it's a no-pilot program, you see, as opposed to a pilot scheme. Or it's a no pilot scheme. Yeah, very good. Yeah. On soft drinks, us Donegal people loved McDade's football special, says Breed Curran. Isn't that a sort of a rock shandy, a mixture of orange and lemonade? I think it is. We used to put Andrew's liver salts in our My Waddy to make fizzy orange. And what about Sidona? Did you ever hear about a flagon of Sidona? It's 2 pints, James of Sligo. Oh, yes. Sidona was the most popular soft drink in our house at Christmas. It was a real treat. We got Sidona in for the Christmas. And Ray, Paul Mescal sitting on a chaise lounge. Is that how you say it? No, he's not. It looks like some sort of modern art deco armchair type thing. Sort of a minimalist. It's not big enough to be a chaise lounge. I haven't seen the pic, so will you please play the song by Wet Leg, Chaise Lounge. See, once you hear that, I'll see what I can do with that tomorrow. Now, we're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our whodunit quiz. Yeah. Where did I put that? Anyway, we're looking for two people to come on, and we have a prize. And this week, it's a two-night stay for two people in the Radisson Blue Hotel in Sligo. Nestled in a lovely landscape around Ross's Point, loads of things to do. There's breathtaking landscape. You can go for a walk into Sligo Town or enjoy a bite to eat at the hotel's A Rosette accredited brasserie restaurant. And you get to go there on one of the evenings. RadSligo.com. RadSligo.com. Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Sligo. And of course, they have the spa there as well, as the name suggests. Okay, here is your qualifying question on this Thursday afternoon. A tin of autographed baked beans has finally been sold this week after being auctioned in the UK yesterday. It fetched over €128. Yes, €128. But who was it signed by? Was it signed by Chris DeBorg or Jim DeBorg? So autographed baked beans sold for €128. Was the baked beans signed by Chris DeBorg or Jim DeBorg? 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or you can text us 51551. Now, this was a new one on us when we read it in the paper this morning. The Young One's aide Edmondson today is quoted in the Daily Mail saying that his lifelong short-sightedness has been miraculously cured at the age of 66. Aide said that he believes the condition recently caught up with and cancelled out the long-sightedness that can happen later in life, which he says was coming at the opposite direction. No, I don't understand either. Anyway, to figure it all out, we got on to Carlo optometrist Bernard Jennings, and he's on the line now. Hello, Bernard.
How are you, Ray? How's it going?
Not too bad. Thanks for taking our call today. So when I read this, I said, oh, that's brilliant. That's going to happen to me as well in 7 years' time. It's going to be brilliant. I won't need to wear glasses anymore.
Well, it's quite unusual.
Oh, is it?
Like,
right.
you have to have a special lottery for this one. You have to be a certain level of short-sightedness, and then as you become a little older, the long-sightedness catches up and it becomes equal. And it doesn't stay equal for very long. It could be a couple of years, and then you become more long-sighted, and then you need both glasses for reading or distance and whatever. You know, it's just a quirk of the system, really, that you become more long-sighted as you get older. From 40 onwards, you kind of need reading glasses, and some people need distance glasses as well. And it's to do with the fact that the crystalline lens in your eye is changing all the time. The proteins are changing. The constituency of it is changing. It's getting a bit stiffer, and it isn't as elastic as it used to be. And as a result, you become more long-sighted.
So he was wearing glasses from the age of 8. And imagine his surprise at 66 when he realised he didn't need them anymore. So you're going to put a call into him now and saying it's only going to last for a couple of years, Abe.
Well, sure. I'm sure he'll find out over time. That's the way. Everything happens gradually, as you know.
So where are we at with technology at the moment? Because you're saying as time goes on, we become short-sighted, long-sighted, every sort of sighted. So are there bifocal, trifocal, quadruple focal? What's the latest technology in eyewear?
The technology, I'm 41 years out now, and I'm just semi-retiring. And the technology has moved on so much over the last 15 years with the advent of the word digital. So nowadays you can get a pair of glasses that where you can see at almost every distance, be it 200 yards back into 3 or 4 to 6 inches. It's just a question of telling your professional what you want, and they'll make it up for you. And the technology to make the lenses has become so much better that they can do almost anything these days.
So are they called trifocal then?
Well, varifocal.
Varifocal, right. Okay.
So let's say for the sake of argument, you were plus one in the distance and you were plus 2.5 in
reading.
They can, the digital lenses can layer the power so that it graduates on that little corridor on the way down as you look from distance to reading. And it just means that after a period of adjustment, which can either be 10 minutes or 10 days, that you get very comfortable to see in the distance and very comfortable to read.
Now, the mid-distance is your television.
It's an advance of bifocals, which were only two distances.
Yes.
One at 33 centimetres and the other in the long distance.
So what about the mid-distance, your television?
You literally just have to move your head a fraction.
Right, and you get it.
Up or down, and there it is. It's clear, crystal clear.
Now, before we let you go, because you're a busy man, semi-retired, what do you say to people who buy their glasses online? Do you have any advice for them?
Well, I use the word lottery about that man, the actor. It's a little bit of a lottery when you're buying online, because the optometrist is going to measure you for something, especially if it's varifocals. The most important thing is to get the center of the visual axis right in the glasses where you want it. And if that's up, down, left or right, it can show your visual system out of kilter.
Okay.
And so it's really a question of when you buy them online, they do their best to try and do that through an app. But it's much better when you have a human hand marking the exact center.
Right.
So that's basically all I'm saying. Okay. I wouldn't say any more.
Right. You're semi-retired. You're handed over to your is it your son and your daughter?
My son, John. He's just about 10 years qualified now, and it's his turn. I'm still fit and healthy, but at the same time, it's his time.
Right.
I'll be getting the free travel now in a couple of months, and it's just time for me to retire.
Great.
My wife is telling me to retire.
Well, you should, while you're fit and healthy and enjoy it. Listen, before we let you go, you'll probably know the details of this. We got a text in, an anonymous text, saying Bernard's son John saved my sight earlier this year. At a routine appointment, he spotted I had a rare type of rapid glaucoma. I had emergency surgery, which saved my sight. That's a good news story, isn't it?
Well, and in fairness, like nearly all optometrists have a story, something similar. And I don't mean to say that in a good or a bad way about John. He's fantastic at what he does. The new machinery that he has allows him to, you know, find out what's wrong with people. And in fairness, nearly all the optometrists in the country have it. Okay. So, like, the message is every 2 years you get your eyes tested until you're a certain age, and after a certain age, then you just get it done every year.
Okay.
Like, it's the constancy of getting it done. But, like, in fairness, John is he's a great lad. He's in a play, would you believe, at the minute in the Amateur Drama Society.
Go on, give the plug there. You're not on local radio now, but go on, Bernard, quickly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the Carlo Little Theatre's entry into the One Act Festival,
right?
And it's a play written by Mark Craddock, and it's about Beethoven and Beethoven losing his hearing.
Okay.
And it's both very funny and very serious at the same time. It's a lovely play. It's about 40 minutes.
Starring John Jennings. Bernard Jennings,
no,
thanks so much.
He's not the star. He's not the star. Right. But, like, at the same time.
He's in it. He's in it. Right. Okay. Yeah. Good luck, Bernard.
Anyway, listen,
thanks.
Am I allowed to do one thing before I go?
I don't know. Well, look, go on.
Right. You see, I sang at my daughter's wedding during the speech. And I'm going to sing on the Ray D'Arcy show right now. Thanks for the memory of the afternoon Ray D'Arcy show. I killed their man, don't you know? Married up to Jenny with a couple of kids in tow. How lucky they are.
Bernard Jennings, thank you very much. Good luck.
The Ray D'Arcy show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I'm more to after that, Scarlett, I am. Anyway, we're looking for two people after 4 o'clock to take part in our whodunit quiz. Here's your qualifying question this Thursday afternoon. A tin of autographed baked beans has finally been sold this week for €128. Was the tin signed by Chris de Burgh or Jim de Burgh? 0818 715 925, and that great prize of a 2-night break for two people in the Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Sligo. Now, The Miracle Club is a heartwarming film of friendship and family. It stars Maggie Smith, Kathy Bates, Laura Linney, and our next guest, Mark O'Halloran. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. You play Father Dermot Byrne.
I do.
I was looking at your IMDb. Is that your third priest to play? Or?
My mother is delighted. She couldn't quite make me into a priest, but I can act the priest every so often. I have done a few priests, all right.
Yeah. Now, why is that? Explain yourself, do you think?
It might be the beatific quality I bring to life, or the holiness I exude. I think it's an interesting one. Someone once said, are you worried that you're going to be typecast as a priest? And I was like, I don't care being typecast as anything, as long as the jobs keep coming, you know. But this was an interesting one in that Father Dermot Byrne, as he is called, he's nowadays, if you put a priest in a drama, people go, oh, is he creepy? And this priest is, because we're used to all the stories that have come out and the kind of dramas, and this priest is just a nice man. Mm. He's just a good person who's doing his best by his flock and the group of women that he's bringing over to Lourdes. And it was nice to play somebody with a warm heart and a good heart and trying to give advice to people. And maybe he's a little bit lost himself. But, you know, so that was kind of a fun and interesting challenge to it.
So it's based in 1967, a group of Dublin women on their way to Lourdes. And those things that you attributed to Father Dermot Byrne can be attributed to the movie as well, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, the movie, I think the movie is a kind of movie that is not made for, you know, it's for people who don't have a lot of movies made for them, I suppose. The cinemas are full of blockbusters or, you know, Oppenheimers or, you know, which are great and they have their audience. And this is for, It has a warmer heart. Mm. It has a decency to it. It has a gentility to it. It talks about ideas of community and togetherness and how we need each other. And maybe the place of religion, or what the place of religion was in society at a certain point, and the need to have faith in something. So they're not always catered for in the cinema. So I think there is an audience for this kind of film, actually.
But it does ask questions of religion.
It does. You know, it's not a sort of given an easy ride to the church, and Father Dermot gets shouted at quite a lot in it. But it does also talk about faith and how we need to have faith in something and how we have to believe either in ourselves or in each other or in the community that we belong to, and how we can't just turn our backs on all those things. So I think that's in there.
I should have mentioned Agnes O'Casey as well. We spoke to her last week or the week before, and she is a star in the making, isn't she?
She is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. She's gorgeous. And she has this amazing lineage. She is Sean O'Casey's grandchild, which is just amazing. And she's a really beautiful human being. You know, she was gorgeous in the film. We had great fun making it, you know.
Yeah. So Maggie Smith, nearly 90, Kathy Bates, yeah. Laura Linney. Do you get nervous in the company of actors like that?
Well, the offer for this came in and they said, do you want to play a priest in this film? And I was like, oh, sure, oh, I don't know. And then they said, it's got Laura Linney, Kathy Bates and Maggie Smith in it. I nearly bit the hand off my agent who was offering me the script. I was like, oh my God, these people are fantastic. But I'm kind of like, I'm in my 50s now. I've been around the block a few times and I'm not nervous, but I bounced into work every day because it was joyous, because these are people that I love and admire. Kathy Bates, you know, Misery or Dolores Claiborne are some of my favourite films. Laura Linney, Ozark, I watched every single episode of it. Maggie Smith, you know, she's just a legend.
Yeah.
And so it was just amazing going into work, watching these people work and sharing scenes with them, you know. It was one of those joyous jobs.
You strike me as a person who's probably for most of your life comfortable in your skin, but are you more comfortable in your skin now that you're in your mid-50s?
Do you know, I think in your 20s, you spend the time wondering, who am I? And you spend your 30s kind of going, I think I might be this. And your 40s, you're going, I'm pretty sure I'm this. And then your 50s is like, ah, yeah. Let's get on with it. You are who you are at this point. And I'm a happy person, you know.
Yeah.
I think so anyway.
You're in London at the moment.
I am.
And you're in Portia Coughlin in the Almeida Theatre.
Yes.
How's that going? I read it's got a 4-star review in The Guardian.
Yes. I mean, it's a play by Marina Carr. Many people might remember it. It was produced originally in the Abbey as a co-production with a theatre in London in 1996. And it's a really dark play about a woman struggling with just her place in society and the loss of her twin who died when they were 15, and mental health issues and a really dysfunctional family. And so it's a big, messy Irish play. And what feels great about it is now there's this Irish company of actors here. The Almeida Theatre is quite a posh theatre. It's up in Islington. And we're an Irish company doing this rough Irish play, playing it on the stage at the Almeida in London. And it just feels very powerful, actually.
Mm.
We're loving doing it. And it stars at the centre. The person who's playing Portia Coughlin is Alison Oliver, who was in Conversations with Friends. She is just extraordinary. She's, you know, just as Aggie O'Casey is going to be a big star, Alison Oliver is going to be huge, you know. She's a fantastic talent.
And you wrote some of those episodes, the screenplays.
I wrote for Conversations with Friends, I did. But it was, weirdly enough, I was writing them at the very early stages of lockdown. So, you know, I saw, you know, audition material and blah, blah, blah for people who'd come in. So I saw Alison, you know, auditioning, and I saw some scenes as they were filming them, but nobody could visit set because it was during lockdown. So I never got to meet her until, you know, the first day of rehearsals for this play. But we felt as if we knew each other, you know. My name was on the scripts that she was acting in, and I was like loving the work that she was creating.
I'm fascinated to know, Mark, about you being a playwright and being an actor as well in plays, other people's plays. Does it give you insight or do you overanalyze things?
I feel like, do you know Wurzel Gummidge used to rip off his head and go, I've got my acting head on now, Aunt Sally. And when I put on my acting head, like, I'm only doing the acting, and I'm not, I think that some writers might feel it, might be uneasy about having me in their stuff because they feel I'd be criticising them, but actually I spend more time criticising myself and the bad acting that I'm doing than I would be criticising the writing. With this one, Portia Coughlin, though, like, it's a classic play, like, it's one of the great plays in the Irish canon, and so there's no criticism at all. It's just you kind of are in awe of the talent of Marina Carr.
And are you working on stuff now? Obviously, you're acting in that, but are you writing away during the day?
I am. I have been writing away during the day. This is our opening week over in London, so that was a bit rough, but it took up a lot of time. But I have been writing during the day. I'm writing an adaptation of a novel for American television. I have a screenplay about the jazz pianist Bill Evans, which we hope to get made next year. And a few other things in the offing. And sometimes I just write a thing for myself that hasn't been commissioned or whatever, write a play or whatever. So I have those ideas going around and I am working away, yeah.
And it's still as easy as ever, is it? Or as difficult as ever, which?
Oh, nothing's easy. I set myself, sometimes when you sit down to write something, you can get overwhelmed by the totality of it. And all I tell myself is just write three pages of dialogue a day. That's all you have to do.
Right.
And tomorrow, get up, do another three pages. The next day, another three pages. By the end of the week, you'll have 21 pages. By the end of whatever, 5 weeks, you'll have nearly 100 pages. Like, so just build it up slowly. Go from one line to the next rather than trying to write it all at once. Do you know that kind of way?
How many pages is the average movie?
Say that Adam depends.
And, yeah, I know. It obviously depends. I know, but I said average.
Adam and Paul, it's hard to tell with Adam and Paul because I have about 21 different versions of it on my computer. I would say Adam and Paul came in about 90 pages.
Right.
You know, something like Oppenheimer, you're talking about 200 pages, I'm sure. It also, the length of your screenplay depends on the size of your budget. You know, if you have a big budget, you can go a bit longer. But usually between 90 and 120 pages.
You mentioned Adam and Paul. That's 20 years next year, is it?
20 years next year, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That is... It's shocking, really, in those ways. And I thought to myself, yeah, you know, it's not that long ago. And I was online the other day. I was trying to find a picture of Tom because his anniversary was coming up, anniversary of his death,
Tom Murphy.
And I was looking for pictures and there was pictures of us in Adam and Paul. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so young. Oh, my God, I can't put that photograph up with the state of me at the moment. And it does, you know, in a way, it feels a long time ago. And yet other times I remember, I feel I remember every moment of the set of on being on set with it, you know, and how glorious it was and the fun we had making it.
And you were at the end of a relationship, yourself and Tom.
Yes,
that had lasted,
that's right,
8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
I believe it was on the telly recently, you sat down and watched it. What sort of emotions do you feel?
I watched a bit of it, you know. I watched towards the end of it and there's a scene in it where they go back to the big flats in Ballymun that were there, no longer there, of course, and they accidentally have... heroin given to them, but just before it, they've reached the rock bottom and Tom's character just sits down and he goes, I'm going to die. And I hadn't remembered that line was in it and I was like, oh my God. But I also got to look at how glorious he was in it and it still hurts, you know. Anybody who knows, you know, having lost somebody they love dearly, it never really goes away, you know, it stays with you. But it transforms itself as you go along and you learn to deal with it better, I suppose.
You're from a large family.
Very large. Yes. 10.
Yeah, 9. I'm from 9. Where were you in that family?
I'm number 8. Where are you?
I'm third eldest.
Oh, yeah.
So how is that positioning affected
you? So your parents
you?
Made all the mistakes with the first few, I presume.
Yes, and the first two, the yes,
ones,
yes, yes.
The ones later in the family are kind of perfect. But
well, no, that you say that. The youngest in our family is the most well-adjusted by a long shot. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think there's something about you also spend a lot of time watching the older members of your family and you might see, you know, okay, you know, you know, you can understand how to deal with people. And I think it does. There is a lot to be said. I think we're probably more diplomatic, the later ones in the family.
Right.
My family will kill me now.
And on family, you're a self-confessed cat parent.
I am a cat parent.
And Delia.
Delia.
And where's Delia when you're on stage?
When I'm on stage and when I'm over in London, because I've been in London nearly for the whole year, I have somebody come and live in my apartment and look after Delia.
Nice.
And be a parent. But they've done things like that I wouldn't have done. They built cat furniture and put it on the walls so she can climb up on the walls and nest on a little shelf up on the walls.
Right.
So it's like, really, it's her gaff now.
And when you're texting me, you know Niamh, she used to be a neighbour of yours. She's,
yes, I do.
Producing the show today. And she has taken to toothbrushing her cat. And seemingly it mimics what some sort of grooming the cats do to each other.
And I can honestly say, if I tried to put a toothbrush in my cat's face,
it's not for brushing their teeth. It's for grooming them. You brush their hair with it.
Oh well, like I got a brush for the cat, and she absolutely loves it. But I've seen videos online of people actually brushing their cat's teeth.
No.
Like if I tried to do that with my cat, she'd tear
the
face off.
That's not natural.
No, it isn't natural.
No, very enjoyable. Was at it yesterday at the Odeon in Blanchardstown, Mairead W. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting to. I don't know why I wasn't expecting to, but I really enjoyed the Miracle Club. The acting is amazing, and I cried a couple of times, which is always a good sign, I think. If it's written well enough to reach that level of emotion.
Yeah, and I just think it's lovely to see those women, in the centre, those four women, including Aggie, but, you know, Maggie and Kathy and Laura, just absolutely brilliant talent, you know. And then there's the great male talent in it as well. Stephen Ray is in it, and Niall Buggy,
and it's Marco Halloran.
Paddy Sullivan, and Marco Halloran playing a lovely priest.
And the Miracle Club is in cinemas now. Mark, lovely talking to you.
And
good luck with the rest of the run of Portia Coughlin in the Almeida Theatre in London. See you now. Bye now.
Cheers.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the Liberty Market in Dublin is celebrating 50 years in existence this weekend, and our Sinead is down there. Hello, Sinead, again.
Hello, Ray. I'm here in the market. I'm standing to the back of the market. I certainly chose the right day to come here. It was Catherine who's selling baby clothes next to me here. It was her birthday yesterday. We had some Black Forest gatto.
Nice, my favourite.
And tea and lovely coffee. And I'm standing here next to Larry Mooney, one of the traders who has been in the Liberty Market for nearly 50 years at this stage. And he's by my side.
How are you, Larry?
How are you, Ray? How are things?
Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, can you remember your first day at the Liberty Market, or is that too long ago?
No, when we came in, it was, I'd say, 1973, and at that stage, we hadn't even got electricity in the place.
Mm.
So we only had candles down for maybe a year and a half, you know? And then half the market was only out because it was kind of derelict in the sense that they had to put new shell sheets on the roof and all that type of thing, you know?
Yeah. Has this been your full-time job since then, Larry?
Yeah, well, I gave up work in 1979 and I did come into the market then full-time, you know?
Yeah, and what were you selling at the beginning?
At that stage, we were selling our ladies' clothes, and then about 22 years ago, I decided to do the wool, and that's what I'm in ever since.
It'd be hard to compete with the pennies and all those things, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, as I said to the lady that's interviewed me, we had the same customers coming in for donkey shares.
Yeah.
And as I said, we say 60% of my customers are old age pensioners.
Mm.
So what I'd call them is all recycled teenagers like myself.
Great attitude, Larry. Great attitude. Yeah. And why the wool? Why did you decide to go with wool?
Well, what happened was my daughter started and then she left and got a job, so we took it over. So we've been selling that since then, and I kind of wanted to say to the lady here, we sell very reasonable. I'm not trying to give myself a clap on the back, but to be honest with you, we sell because the people that I have coming in to me, they just don't have the money. They're old, they're pensioners.
Mm.
And at the same time, as I said, the women that come in, they're coming in nearly every week now, they may not see anybody from one end of the week to the other. So we're coming in, they were just saying that there was one lady with me last Saturday who, thank God, had cancer operation, and she's rallying around the next minute. She was in me last Saturday, and I said to the son, God says, oh, your man looks well now. Well, he said, would you believe he drives her from Wexford every Saturday to bring her into the market.
For your wool?
Yeah, that's a genuine,
that's
gospel truth now. Yeah,
yeah
that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
So we do have, like before the corona, genuine, we had a woman come in to us. He's one customer was 100 years of age.
Wow.
And that's genuine. That's not just a hearsay.
Yeah.
So, like, as I say, we look, if the same people, as I just say, they're grown old with me. That's why I call them recycled teenagers.
And you obviously give them value for money because they're coming back for more.
We have to be honest, we are very cheap. Yeah. And we are. I can even if you were to interview some of the customers, they tell you that we're very reasonable. We do buttons that, I mean, I went into a shop, I won't name the name, in Galway years ago.
Yeah.
And you had four buttons on the card for $2.70.
Okay.
Today you give the customer six for a euro.
That's good value.
Do you know what I mean? Yes, so yeah. That's what I'm saying. And
how many buttons? Them, how many buttons have you got, Larry, do you reckon?
Ah, they have thousands and thousands, right? Like, the way it is with me, myself and my wife were in Spain a few years ago, and I can't stand this thing of people walking behind you. So when they come into our stall, you just pick up the bull themselves, then I'd say, call me when you're ready.
Oh, I'd give them a bag. I see what you're saying.
And they said, you want the counter? What would they want the counter? I said, you can count them yourself.
It's about trust. I mean? It's about trust, Larry, isn't it?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, Ray, at the end of the day, we said, you know, we're 10 euro buns, 12 euro buns. That's fine. You want to count them now, so you count them yourself.
There you go.
And as I say, that's what I'm fine with the people. Look at the salt of the air, right, that's coming into this
Larry,
place. The same,
What's popular at the moment? No, what's popular at the moment, wool-wise? What colours are...
Wool-wise, we're finding that we're doing the finger wool, and I'm finding that with a lady coming in here about 4 weeks ago, and she's teaching children in the crèche to make it. Right. You don't need needles, you just do it with your fingers.
Oh, finger wool, I've never heard
finger
of it.
Finger wool, yeah. So that's very big at the moment,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're sorry, Ray, for not crossing you. There was one woman came to my daughter last week, she said, you know what? She said, I told the children, my daughters, if you're good and you tidy up the house, I'll get you the wool. And she said, they're great now, that they're making sure they're doing teeth shows in the house. And she said, don't you come in and get the wool off you for the kids. And
brilliant.
We're getting the young kids that's coming around doing that as well.
And
know?
I believe some of the people who buy the wool go home and they knit and they bring the stuff back in and you sell them, which is brilliant as well.
Well, they do for one or two ladies, to be honest. One is in a late 80, maybe 84, 85. But again, that same lady, we didn't see anybody, Ray, from one end of the week to the other.
Yeah.
So when you come in here, you'd be chatting, and then you might get someone and say, we don't know how to make it. Another woman say, hold on, Larry, give us a set of needs. And
they're learning one another as well.
Ray, it's great.
Listen, celebrating 50 years, there's a big do this Saturday between 12 and 4. So there's a DJ, balloons, food platters. James Brown.
James Brown is on, and then there's a DJ as well.
We've
everything for the kids, you know.
Brilliant.
What I mean? So please, God, be good.
Larry, I've really enjoyed our chat.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate that.
Many more years of success in the Liberty Market,
well,
you and your wool and your
God,
buttons. Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, Ray.
Sinead.
God bless you.
Yes, Ray.
Thanks so much for showing us around Liberty Market on the radio today. And we'll talk to you next week. Off you go to the Black Forest Gato and the cup of tea.
Thank you so much, Sinead.
Anish Doshi now in the Preve Skelton and Oak to Marion Ní Húlaoán. Thank you very much. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. We've two quizzers standing by, ready to play our Who Done a Quiz. There's always an urgency about it, isn't there? Yeah. And the prize, it's two nights stay for two people in the Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Sligo. They're part of the I Knew a Collection Hotel Group. They have hotels all over the country. The Radisson Blue in Sligo is surrounded by the gorgeous countryside of Rosses Point. Offers stunning views of Sligo Bay and the neighbouring mountains. And during your stay, you can take in the breathtaking landscape, and you can also go for a stroll in Sligo. Enjoy a bite to eat at the hotel's AA Rosette accredited brasserie restaurant. There's Waves Bar, and there's also the spa as well. RadSligo.com. RadSligo.com. Good afternoon, Mary.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. So it's Mary Good. Barry as opposed to Mary Berry.
Exactly. Yes,
right.
I get asked that a lot, yeah.
And it's
Barry with a B.
It's Carrig Tuathail as opposed to Carrig Tuathail.
Yes, Carrig Tuathail in County Cork. Yeah.
Which is a village. It's in the mountains, but it's not a mountain.
No, it's quite low-lying.
Is it right? Okay.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
I always get this confused now. So tell me where it is, yeah.
All right, if you're coming out, if you're going to Fota Wildlife Park,
yes,
we're on that roundabout, we're just off that roundabout.
All right.
Between Cork and Middleton. And just want to shout out today, Ray, to all the businesses that have been, and homes that have been really struggling with yesterday's storm. So just a shout out to everyone in the Middleton, Killa, Glenmire areas that have been affected. Yeah,
yeah, horrific. And I think the fact that nobody was prepared for it was the worst of it.
Yeah, it came very fast. It really did. Even though it was raining and raining and raining, I think so many rivers, our own stream here burst. There was just a lot of water.
And Mary, just from listening to people around the locality, is it true that this hasn't happened in most people's lifetime, anything like this?
There have been some floods in the past. I haven't seen or experienced this amount of water, even in my own locality. I haven't. You know, there have been floods there in the past, but
Nothing
to
this scale.
And how? Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
It's a rough time, and it sounds like there's a great community spirit happening down there, which happens at a time like this.
Yes.
Everyone
kind
pitches
of
in.
Together.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What are you up to? You're doing a bit of housework yourself and getting the dinner ready.
Yeah. I'm off work today, so just at home getting the jobs done.
But you're working away. That's the thing, you see. You're still working.
Unpaid
work.
Yes, yeah, the work that gets done all the time behind the scenes.
A woman's work is never done. Yeah. Yeah. You're up against Irene Byrne in Ennis. Hello, Irene.
Oh, hi, Ray. How are you?
We were speaking to Mark O'Halloran. He's an Ennis native. Did you know that?
Yes.
You did?
I just heard it there. I didn't realise it, no.
No, there you go. It's from a family of 10, so you probably know some of them. What are you up to today?
I'm just home from work now and just get the dinner, the usual evening things, and heading out later to a couple of our staff have retired, so we're having a retirement party tonight in Limerick.
Right.
That's what I'm up to later.
Aha. Now, where do you work?
I work in University Maternity Hospital in Limerick in the neonatal intensive care unit.
Right. So you're not a midwife?
I am a midwife,
You're moved off. You've moved away from deliveries, have you? Is that it?
Yes. That's correct. Looking after the premature babies.
Oh, right. Wow. That's very rewarding work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is indeed. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you're busy place. So a number of your colleagues are retiring tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm retired in the last few months, but we've kind of picked tonight as the night for the celebrations.
Will there be karaoke?
Oh, I don't think so. No.
No.
I think we've gone past that. No, a meal and a few drinks and a few more are seen, I think. Yeah.
Home before midnight.
Hard to know about. Yeah, maybe, possibly.
See, right, okay. You don't know what the night holds. Three questions each. You know the deal. I give you the category, I ask if you want a clue. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points because it's more difficult. Whoever gets the most points is the winner. If it's drawing points, we go to a tie-break question. Good luck to you both, Mary and Irene. Here we go.
Thank you.
So, Mary, first category, Irish singers. Irish singers. What do you want to do with that?
Irish singers. I'll go without a clue, thanks.
Okay, for two, who is this? Who's that?
Oh dear, I was hoping, I don't know, I think it might be Samantha Mumba.
It is Samantha Mumba, yes, well done.
Brilliant.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Well done.
Great.
Good start for you. Irene, Irish singers, what do you want to do with that?
I'll go without a clue.
Okay, for two, who is this?
I like the things you wear, I want your number tattooed on my arm in ink, I swear, cause when the morning comes, I know you won't be there, every time I turn around you disappear.
Who's that?
Gosh, I haven't a clue.
Guess.
No, I wouldn't even know where to start.
No. Well, Mullingar would be a good place. Niall Horan. That's Niall Horan, originally from One Direction and originally from Mullingar. Early days, Irene. Don't panic quite yet. We're on to the second question for you, Mary. Famous movie themes.
Okay, I'll go for two again, Ray.
You go for two again. Okay, can you name this movie from its theme? Well,
oh, not too sure again. Jurassic Park.
It is Jurassic Park.
Oh wow! Memory, something in the back of the head is working.
It is working. It's working well. It's working well. There you go. Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now Irene, that puts you under a bit of pressure because Mary's on four, and you can only possibly get four if you get the next two questions right. But I still have to ask you on famous movie themes. Do you want to take a clue or not?
No clue.
No clue. For two, can you name this movie?
That's Indiana Jones.
It is Indiana Jones. You're in the game. Well done. 2 points. Yeah. Well done there. Now, so Irene, you're on two. Mary, you're on four. Mary, okay. That means that if you get anything from this final question, you're today's winner.
Okay.
Irene can't possibly catch you. So it's former band members. What do you want to do?
Well, I will definitely take a clue.
Okay. Yeah. This singer likes to rule the world is the clue. This singer likes to rule the world. Who is it for 1 point?
I don't really look back on it, but the, you know, I'm forced to with this anniversary, but what I do feel after COVID and realising that I'm nearly at half a century is I feel really, really grateful. Yeah. I feel really, really grateful that I'm still knocking about.
Who's that?
Ooh, it's between two. I'm going to go with Gary Barlow.
No, because it's former band members.
Oh, Robbie Williams.
Yeah, sorry, I had to take your foot. There you go.
That's okay. Not to worry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Irene, that means the door is still open for you. You're on two. Mary's on four. If you get this one correct, we go to a tiebreak situation. Former band members. Yes. I have to ask anyway, do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
No clue. Who is this former band member for 2 points?
It used to be about empowering young girls and boys in music. That was what girl power was. And now it's just about empowering women.
That's Victoria Beckham.
Both fashion and
it is Victoria Beckham. Yes, it is. Former Spice Girl. 2 points for you. So it's a draw. Which means,
well done,
yeah, we're in a tiebreak situation here.
Only that I saw the show the other night.
Oh, you're watching Beckham. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. Oh my God, it's brilliant.
Yeah, so tiebreak situation. We asked you a question before you went on air. I'm going to repeat it now for our listeners at home. Whichever of you gets closest to the correct answer is today's winner. Good luck to you both. The question, according to Google Maps, how long would it take for you to cycle from Castle Knock in Dublin to Castletown Bear in County Cork? That's a long cycle. Your guess, Mary, in Cork?
I said something like 96 hours, 30 minutes.
96 hours. How many days is that? Do the maths on that.
That's about four. I was trying to think about days. It's about four, I think.
Right, okay. 4 days. And your guess, Irene?
Oh, I said 12 hours.
Big difference. Big difference between the two there. 96 versus 12. The distance is 371 kilometres. And according to Google Maps, to cycle from Castleknock in Dublin to Castletown Bear in West Cork, it would take you 19 hours and 23 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Irene, you are the closest. Mary, sorry about that.
No worries.
And you did so well. Not known. I don't know. I just guess. Samantha Mumba. I don't know. I just guess Jurassic Park, which you did really well. So, Radar Show Keep Cup on its way to you in Carrigtwohill. Lovely talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary.
Bye.
Enjoy Sligo.
Bye.
Irene.
Awesome. Thanks,
yes, you're off to Sligo. The Radisson Blue in Sligo. Radsligo.com. Well done. Congratulations.
Brilliant.
And enjoy the celebrations tonight.
Yes.
Don't be out too late now. Right. See you. Bye.
Oh,
bye.
Try.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, our gaff goddess, Laura DeBarra, is waiting to talk to us from a London studio. But first, some new music from the Mary Wallopers. The Mary Wallopers from their new album, Irish Rock and Roll, which is available to download wherever you download things now. The weather is certainly feeling a bit colder now. Yeah, it's autumnal out there, nearly winterish. So we decided to get our gaff goddess and decor galore person, Laura DeBarra, to help us to get our homes winter ready. Hello, Laura.
Hi. I love the way you say decor galore.
Do I say it? You say it very well.
Okay. Yeah, go on. Okay. So, people are putting on their central heating.
Oh, I know.
And probably some of the radiators aren't working. How do you know if they're working or not working?
Well, whenever I go into a new, this time of year is really common for leases to come up. And the first thing, I'll go through like the checklist of how I check properties when I go in now when they're empty to set them up for the new people coming in. It's always the same mistakes that I see. So like the first thing you want to do is the last time you had your heating on, it'll have been a different type of cold to right now. Think of every winter, like as we're going in and they're starting to use the heating as a new one, right? You want to do a full reset. Okay. So what you want to make sure you're doing is checking all your thermostats and applying common sense to each room. So the first thing you want to do is turn on your heating and test it. Test that every single radiator is working properly. So if you feel like there is cold at the top of the radiator, they need to be bled. Gaff Goddess has a really quick guide into this, but you'll get them online as well. You just need a little key that's going to just, it's really easy to do, but just make sure that you're watching a tutorial by a trusted professional.
Now here's just a couple of things on that and you can watch the video, but should there be a
Yeah, that's the air coming out. Like when you have the gap at the top, the air will come out, but you want to turn it really slowly, just very gently, right? Like don't twist it fully straight away because water is going to come out pretty quickly. You'll hear the hiss. Yeah. I always have like a nice little rag and then I let a little bit of the water spurt in there and then I tighten it back up.
So not a lot of water. Not a lot of water. Just a little bit.
No, you don't. And the thing is, sometimes people will go, oh my God, this is so cool. I'm using a new tool. And then I twist it 360 and water just comes pouring out. And then the worst one I've seen is when a friend of mine actually twisted it so much that the whole pin came out.
Oh no.
So like okay. There's water flowing through this.
Yes. Watch a video, be careful. Easily.
Yeah, and like watch it twice. You know what I mean? But Gaff Goddess has like I've broken it down in a really like fun way in the book so that you can kind of like you don't get a bit of a too much of a fright. And then you want to make sure so TRVs, you know the little gals you see on the side of the radiator, it's the little dial, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 usually is what they're on.
Green to red.
Yeah, and the numbers are what to pay attention to on these, right? So you want to set these up for the actual use of the room. And the easiest way to remember it is in fives. It can be a little bit higher or lower than the rounded off five, but I just remember it in fives. So when you see zero on that, you know, at the frost setting, that's for when you're not really using the heating, but you need a little bit of heat in to stop like pipes freezing over or like the radiator seizing up in general. One, think of it as 10 degrees. Two, think of it as 15. Three, think of it as 20. Four, 25. 5:30. A lot of people think that you just twist it to 5 and it means the radiator gets warmer quicker.
That's not the case.
It is the worst thing you can do because she basically is in a relationship with your boiler, right? And when you turn her to 5, she's going, honey, give me 30. And every time the temperature drops in that room, she's calling the boiler again, ringing him up saying, give me 30, I want 30. Right. And you don't want that room to go to 30.
There's no, 25 is ample. Is as much as you'd need, really, isn't it?
Well, Jesus, you like a bit of heat. I would say 20 would be 18 to 20 in a bedroom. And then I'd say between, I would do three, in between 3 and 4 in a living room. And
so 3 in a bedroom, 3 to 4 in a living room. That's what you're suggesting. That's taken that the radiators have been bled and they're working properly.
Yes. And then remember, in your home, you're not going to use every space the same. So like the bedrooms, spare rooms, you can crank her down to like between 1 and 2. Hallways may not need to be the same. And then you want to make sure that the heat you are pumping into the home is staying in the home and not leaving it and warming up outside. So I would make sure that you have your front door well insulated. I always have a look at the seals around the door at the end of tenancies. If you're not sure, don't worry. You don't have to become an expert at it. Take a picture of the seals on your door. If you do feel a draft coming through, show it at a local DIY shop and they'll tell you the replacement seals. They usually come on a roll and they're just a few quid and you can replace them really easily yourself. Right. Directions are on the box. It just stops the draft coming through. If there's somebody that you know who, like an older person or somebody who isn't able to replace them themselves, check out the seals on their houses as well. Like we've got some flats at work where we'll do that work for people. And I always make sure that there's no drafts on the front door. If you have it underneath, you're in a rented property, you can't really touch stuff or put on a comb, get an old leg of a pair of tights, stuff it with old clothing and you have one ready to go there.
That's a draft extractor there, isn't it?
Yeah, a stunning one as well. Yeah. I mean, a nice glam, you know what I mean? A nice heavy dirty.
I remember from my childhood, we always had those snake-like things at the bottom of the door and they work.
They really do. They're just stopping cold air coming in and then the air that you're paying for to heat up the house stops that leaving as well.
Where else do we lose heat?
Windows, massive issue on windows. The same thing here. If you've got sash windows or you have single glaze windows, I always love to use in properties that I used to rent when we had single glazing. You can get this film on most online places. You can get it in a lot of DIY stores. It looks like cling film, for want of a better word.
and then you stick it around the window, full directions, you'll find them online and on the box, and then you use a hairdryer to kind of make it tighten. And what that creates is a layer of air in between the film and the window. Air is one of the best insulators. So then it becomes like double glazing. It's easy to take off, it won't damage the windows, and it traps that air and makes the room
feel warmer. And you put it on the inside.
You put it on the inside, and you'll see if you just Google like insulation film for windows, you'll find the one that's perfect for your type of window. Watch some people do it online. It's something you can do yourself. It makes the room so much warmer.
Okay.
If you also are finding drafts, look into thermal lining for your curtains. You can even safety pin it on. You don't even have to sew it on or do anything damaging to the curtain, and that will provide an extra layer of insulation too.
Okay. What's condensation a sign of?
Usually it's excess moisture in the room. So you're getting hot air is basically going on a cool
window.
Surface.
Right.
Yeah. And if there's excess moisture and it can't get out, like if your trickle vents are closed, you might want to think of opening them. You'd also just want to make sure that you don't have like curtains and stuff leaning against it because it can damage it and get a bit of mold on it. So you want to make sure that you're eliminating the areas where the excess moisture is. So like, you know, vents in your home during the summer can get quite dusty because there's a lot of like dust in the air, like blowing against the vents on the outside. Clear it away. Make sure there's no leaves on it. Vacuum it on the inside. Allow for proper airflow in the home.
Right. People say just, you know, if your house is cold, just put on a jumper or two.
Mm-hmm. Well, not all jumpers. I mean, when people say that, I always want to give them a bit of a dig because they're never the people that know about the TRVs. But what I will say is you're better off to warm yourself up instead of paying for the whole house to warm up. But you should be aware of what you're buying into. Fleece is massive at the moment on trend. But people are buying fleece from fashion companies where the fleece isn't serving the fleece role.
Are all fleeces not the same?
Absolutely not, right? This is from my days in clothing production. They are not. Unfortunately, these days, it can look like a duck, walk like a duck, but it's not a duck when it comes to fashion, unfortunately.
Oh, duck.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Duck is right, right? So if you give a duck about keeping warm, what you can do is make sure that you're buying your fleecing from outdoor companies. Go to the sales section if you want to match the price. A lot of fleecing at the moment is going to make you sweat but not make you warm. So there's a big difference between overheating and keeping in your body heat. If you have, like, we all have a jumper or a cardigan or something that we throw on and we keep it on all week over our clothes. You know, you might have it at work on the back of your chair.
Mm. I have a thing at home. It's a fleece-lined shirt, you know, a lumberjack type thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like the thing you go to. You're like, oh,
exactly.
Cold, I'll throw that on.
Yeah, yes,
yeah, never part of the outfit. Probably never looks like divine. But like,
never goes outside. Well, rarely goes outside. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, you feel like washing it also will remove a lot of the fibres in it, so you don't want to reduce the quality of it. Yeah. So make sure that you're looking at companies who are actually doing fit-for-purpose fleece.
Okay.
I'm telling you, you'll get a much... much more bang for your buck. It'll keep you warm. Look for wool. If you're going to be buying blankets and stuff like that, try not to buy polyester. It's not going to keep you warm. It's going to overheat you. Instead, go for things like wool, breathable, long lasting, and it'll genuinely keep you warm.
Okay, we're running out of time. It's what 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks to Halloween.
Woo.
Have you got any quick tips for people listening?
Yeah, I think the main thing you want to think with Halloween is like the plastic kind of and the tat is out. Like what's in at the moment is like homemade decorations. People love it. It's all about sense of humour. A lot of paper decorations. If you have kids, a really funny thing I've been seeing in flats here a lot, people are getting like large bits of cardboard. Ask your local store for it. Light the kid down, draw around it, and you can do one for each member of the house. Paint it black and stick it in the windows and it looks really cute. It's like a little creepy version
idea.
Of the family in the window.
They're nice idea.
They're stunning. Like when you see them, you're just like, I know the kid that lives in there. That's hysterical. And the kid can do like a creepy pose and you just draw around
a silhouette.
Yeah.
brilliant Laura De Barra, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Stunning. Sorry, it sounds stupid when I say it, but when she says it, it sounds stunning. That's it, Moss. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.